Hi, this is Pastor Daniel Bracken. You're listening to Kings Alaska Podcast. I hope the word encourages you and you get a touch from God that brings transformation and equips you to experience life with people, power, and purpose. Thank you for joining us. Enjoy the word.
Hebrews chapter 1. I want you to go with me to Hebrews chapter 1. We're going to read verse 1. And Lucas, you'll read for us, please. And I want to minister tonight on the seven revelations of Jesus in Hebrews. But I want to explain something. The sweet people who are standing, just come and find a seat, will you? I know there's some seats open. Just come. Walk down. I don't mind at all. Just come. Help the sweet people back there to just find seats here. I didn't expect so many people on Monday night. Because they are still coming out there, and I'm glad to see them all. I want to give you a little explanation before we begin the book of Hebrews. I want to give you a little explanation on the book of Hebrews itself. And why it was written, so it'll make sense, more sense to you. It was written to early Jewish believers. And the Jewish believers that were saved in those days suffered much because of the fact when they came to the Lord, they lost everything. Pastor Daniel, under Roman law, they had an agreement with the elders of the Israelites, of Israel. Rome agreed that they would respect the laws of Judaism in those days. And so Judaism was not looked upon as a cult or a sect. The Romans respected the Jewish authorities and gave them freedom to worship as they wanted. So anyone who went to the synagogue or the temple, anyone that was actively involved in Judaism, was protected under Roman law. That's why they were always afraid to be kicked out of the synagogue, because the minute they were kicked out of the synagogue, they lost that protection from Rome. So when you read in the New Testament how they were afraid to be kicked out of the synagogue, because as long as you were a member of a synagogue or went to the temple, you were protected from losing your job and losing a whole lot more. So for a long time, the early church were looked upon as Jews. But about 70 years later, they were looked upon as a sect. And that is why the book of Hebrews was written. Because the moment the early believers were no longer considered Jews by the Jewish leadership, Roman law could no longer apply to them for protection. And so they lost their jobs. No one could help them. No one would hire them. They lost their families. They lost everything. And anyone who would have helped them would have been punished. So a lot of them wanted to go back to Judaism to regain what they lost, family, job, shelter, on and on. That's why Hebrews was written. And you notice that the whole message is Jesus is better. And the whole book is about examples of faith. And it begins with something powerful about the Lord. And that's what we're going to talk about tonight. To show them that Jesus is better than the law. Okay, so let's begin with Hebrews chapter 1. And we're going to start with verse 1. Go ahead.
God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son.
Now let's stop here. So the writer of the Hebrews begins immediately with the truth that they needed to hear that sets Christianity apart from other religions. When he says, God spoke. One more time.
God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets.
Now, so God spoke. A man named Bishop Ambrose wrote, God walks in the scriptures seeking men. God makes himself known to his people through his word. Now, in Hebrews 12:25, it says, see to it that you do not refuse him who spoke and who speaks. Read that for me, please, Hebrews 12:25.
See that ye refuse not him that speaketh. For if they escaped not who refused him that spake on earth, much more shall not we escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven.
So it begins with God is speaking. So he starts with God who spoke through the prophets, now is speaking through his Son. He's talking to these early Jews who wanted to go back into the law. Psalm 119, please, verse 9 through 16. Let's see what David says about this.
Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. With my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments.
Look at how hungry David was about scripture. One more time.
Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way?
Wherewithal shall a man cleanse his ways? By taking heed.
According to thy word.
To your word. Keep going.
With my whole heart have I sought thee.
With my whole heart I have sought thee. And then he prays.
Oh, let me not wander.
Don't let me wander
from thy commandments.
From your word. Mm-hmm. This is a desperate man who doesn't want to lose the blessings of God for not being able to hear him. Keep going.
Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee.
Lord, I have discovered that your word is my key to victory over sin. And what else?
Blessed art thou, O Lord. Teach me thy statutes.
Look how many times he's asking God to help him. Lord, teach me your statutes. Keep going.
With my lips have I declared all the judgments of thy mouth. I have rejoiced in the way of thy testimonies as much as in all riches.
He said, I have rejoiced in your word.
I have rejoiced in the way of thy testimonies as much as in all riches.
Read right through verse 16.
I will meditate in thy precepts and have respect unto thy ways. I will delight myself in thy statutes. I will not forget thy word.
There's a man who understood the power of the word in his life. So Hebrews 1:1 says, God spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophets. God's revelation of himself, first of all, is progressive. In the old covenant, God revealed himself through the prophets. But something changed now when Jesus came. So reread the entire verse, please, again. Hebrews 1:1.
God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets.
He Keep going.
Hath in these last days spoken unto us by his son.
Okay, let's stop here. So now he's speaking through his son. Let's go to 2 Corinthians 4, verse 6. I'm going to show you some scriptures here about this and explain that to you. 2 Corinthians 4, 6, please.
For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face.
The knowledge, listen, the knowledge of the glory of God in the face
of Jesus Christ.
Of Jesus Christ. Reread the whole thing.
For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness.
That means in Genesis 1:1, remember, let there be light, okay? And then
hath shined in our hearts.
Has shined in our hearts
to give the light.
To give the light
of the knowledge.
Of the knowledge
of the glory of God.
Of the glory of God. The knowledge of the glory of God through His Son. In our hearts, through His Son, He's shining His glory through His Son in our hearts. Let's go to Colossians chapter 1. So God is speaking to us every day in our own hearts through His Son. He's declaring His glory through His Son in us. God is still speaking every day through His Son. How about Colossians 1, 12 through 17, please?
Giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered
us. Has qualified us. Keep going.
Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible.
You got to read the whole thing again because there's a lot in there. But just finish, please. Just one more time. Go ahead, finish it up.
Whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him.
Okay, so. Go back and reread the whole thing, beginning at verse 12.
Giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance.
Qualified us to become what? Partakers
of the inheritance.
The inheritance.
Of the saints in light.
Of the saints in light. We have literally received God's nature. Partakers of his divine nature through Jesus. Keep going.
Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness.
And okay, so he delivered us from the power of darkness, and then he allowed us to become partakers of his nature. Keep going.
Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom.
Translated us. Literally took us from one kingdom of darkness to his kingdom of light.
The kingdom of his dear son.
Dear son, keep going.
In whom we have redemption.
In whom, say in. Say it again, in. Now this is something very, very few Christians understand what it means, in Christ. You see, when you began, Christ in you, the hope of glory. But now, as you journey, you're in Christ. There's a oneness, there's a coming together, there's a unity. You disappear, and all you see is Jesus, basically. So now, keep going.
In whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by him were all things created, that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. and he is before all things.
But we are in him. We have partaken of his nature. We've become literally one with him. The saints are one with the Lord. Meaning, he is continually revealing his glory to us that we just read in Corinthians. Then you go to Hebrews, back to Hebrews chapter 1, verse 2, and we go back to what he said there. One more time.
Hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son.
Wow, now this is amazing. In these last days, God spoken to us by his Son. We got to kind of think about this a little bit. Just kind of slow down. Don't rush this thing. A man named Michael Cord said, to say that Jesus is the Word is saying God is speaking to us. God only needs one word. God only needs one word to perfectly communicate the depth, the mystery, the passion, the overwhelming grace of who he is. By that word, light became a living being, manna became a man, wisdom became a person. In him, life came to life. And all that God is came to us in that one final word, Jesus. So when you say Jesus, you are literally seeing the full expression of who God is. The heartbeat of the Christian faith, Jesus. God, living, breathing, touchable Word, Jesus. So in the beginning was the Word, Jesus. I'm going to reread this again because it's so deep. To say that Jesus is the Word, this is a man named Michael Cord who wrote this. To say that Jesus is the Word is saying God is speaking to us. Because we just read in these last days, he's speaking through Jesus, to us through Jesus. Hath in these last days spoken to us by his Son. So to say that Jesus is the Word is saying God is speaking to us. God only needs one word to perfectly communicate the depth, the mystery, the passion, and the overwhelming grace of who he is. Just Jesus. By that word, light became a living being. Manna became a man. Wisdom became a person. In him, life came to life. All that God is came to us in that one final word, Jesus. So, true Christianity is not about Jesus. True Christianity is Jesus. Say that. It's not about Jesus. True Christianity. One more time. True Christianity is not about Jesus. True Christianity is Jesus. Without Jesus, there is no faith. And the Bible makes it clear that Christianity is not a religion. It's a living relationship with God. And his name, Jesus. It's that simple. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 1. We're not done. We're going to read verse 2 and verse 3. But read now verse 2, please, and then I'll stop you and say one thing.
Hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son.
All right, meaning that Jesus is God's last word. Jesus is God's last word. There's no more to say. In divers manners, he spake to the fathers by the prophets, but hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son. He is his last word. Jesus is the last word. There's no more revelation. He is God's revelation. That's why Jesus on the cross said, it is finished. Not to be continued. On my staff years ago was a Samoan who was a wonderful man, but he was Mormon. We called him Kiwi. So one day I said, Kiwi, why are you a Mormon? He didn't know what to say. I said, Jesus said, it is finished. He did not say to be continued by Joseph Smith. And he got saved just like that. The second I said that, he got saved. He said, say it again, Pastor. I said, Jesus said, it is finished. He didn't say to be continued by Joseph Smith. He said, I want Jesus. And he got saved. All right. Now, let's go to verse 3. Are you enjoying this? Good. Let's keep going. Now, I'm going to give you 7 facts about the Lord. Powerful. And this is what he begins with in Hebrews. This is just the very first part of Hebrews to these wonderful early believers who were thinking about leaving the faith. Okay, verse 3, please.
Finish verse 2 or 3?
2 and 3.
Hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things.
Oh, I love this.
By whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person and upholding all things by the word of his power.
You just said a lot. So I got to slow you down. It's all right. Let's begin. So Hebrews 1:2, it says he's the heir of all things. So he just begins with God at sundry times, divers manners speak to prophets in old days, but now speaking to us by Son. He's the heir of all things. So the first amazing revelation of Jesus is here that everything belongs to him. What belongs to God belongs to him. And by the way, just in case you're thinking, yes, I will be praying for the sick tonight. In fact, some of you will be healed while I'm teaching. So be ready for it. In Psalm 2, verse 8, the Father promised his Son the nations and the ends of the world are his. And Jesus said, all heaven and all things belong to him. Let's go to Ephesians 1, please, verse 9 and 10. Oh, hallelujah. Ephesians 1, verse 9 and 10.
Having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather together in one all things in Christ.
All things in Christ. Keep going.
Both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him.
Now how about verse 21 and 22 of the same chapter?
Far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and hath put all things under his feet.
All things are under his feet. Everything is his. Keep going.
And gave him to be the head over all things to the church.
How about John 17, verse 10? He's the heir of all things.
And all mine are thine, and thine are mine, and I am glorified in them.
How about Matthew 28, verse 18? All power is given unto me, he said, in heaven and earth.
And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth.
Now, the second revelation is, it says, through whom he made the worlds. Hebrews 1, 2, one more time.
Hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things.
We just saw that, and?
By whom also he made the worlds.
Think about this one, okay? Here's God Almighty, God the Father. And here it says that he made the worlds through his Son. And the Greek word for the worlds not only means worlds, it means times. It means whole time. It includes everything in creation. So when you read this, through whom he made the worlds, Jesus supervises everything that happens, keeps it all flowing in harmony with God's purpose, right on schedule with God's will. By him all things were made. And now we read something in verse 3.
Who being the brightness of his glory.
That's incredible. This is like you got to stop and think about what the brightness of his glory means. The word glory also means appearance, reputation, honor. That's what it means, all three things. Glory in the Old Covenant also spoke of God's character, God's nature. Not only who God is, but what God is. So when you speak of the glory of God, it means his appearance, his reputation, his honor, his character, his nature. So it says here that the Lord is the brightness of his glory. Brightness of his appearance, the brightness of his reputation, the brightness of his honor, the brightness of his character, the brightness of his nature. And that word brightness, by the way, means splendor, brilliance, radiance. So Jesus shines with the magnificence and the magnificent character of God Almighty. That's what it means. The brightness of his glory. Jesus is the splendor, the brilliance, the radiance of God's appearance, God's reputation, God's honor, God's character, God's nature. The Lord Jesus shines with the magnificence of God himself and the magnificent character of who God is. Now it says in Hebrews 1:3 also, One more thing. Number four, it says what?
And the express image.
Image, the express image of his person. Now, he's giving all this information to those early Jewish believers to say Jesus is way better than Moses, who is not any of this at all. He is the exact representation of God the Father. It's like an image on a stamp or a coin, an image on a coin. When you read the word express image, to be exposed to Jesus and to his character is to be exposed to the character and nature of God himself. So when we're looking at the Lord Jesus, we're looking at the face of God the Father and God the Holy Spirit. He was, he is forever God Almighty, God with us. So let's go to John 1, 14 and then 18. Are you learning anything? I hope it's not too deep for you. Yesterday, I was easy on you. I wasn't sure how deep you were, so I gave you a kind of a easy message on overcoming the flesh. And then I said, I better go talk to them face to face, and I did. So John 1, verse 14, it says,
and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us.
This is incredibly powerful. That the Word became human, became flesh. Look, when Jesus was born, Mary did not hold him, he held her. Let that sink in. He holds all things by the word of his power. The cross did not hold him, he held the cross. The nails didn't hold him, he held the nails. The grave didn't hold him, he held the grave. So how can the grave hold the one holding it? He is the Word who became flesh and dwelt among us. How about verse 18?
No man hath seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him.
That's powerful. So when Adam opened his eyes, who did he see? The Lord. It says no man has seen God at any time. No man is no man, including Elijah, Moses, all the prophets, whom Abraham included. Whom did they see? I think you know. Look, we're not going to understand the Trinity, so don't try. Because the moment you understand the Trinity, you will bring God down to your level, and when God comes down to your level, you won't be able to worship him. Can I say it again? You will never, you're not going to understand the Trinity with this mind of yours. It's not going to work. Because the moment a human being can figure out the Trinity, he'll bring God down to his level. And when you bring God down to your level, you won't be able to worship him as God. Quite simple. He is God Almighty. So don't try to explain him. Now, here's number five. Upholding all things by the word of his power. It says in verse 3. Colossians 1:17, please. Oh, I like this one. Go ahead.
And he is before all things, and by him all things consist.
Now, this is incredible. By him all things consist. Scientists tell us of a mysterious force that keeps the atoms from splitting. They call that force cosmic glue. What they don't know is Jesus is the glue. Because by him all things consist. It says in Colossians, by him all things consist. So he is the one holding the universe together. He's the one that keeps the atoms from splitting. He is that cosmic glue that the scientists call and can't explain what it is. He oversees the process of the natural world. He keeps it functioning according to God's will and purpose, upholding all things by the word of his power. That's why he was able to walk on water. That's why he can command the waves and wind to be still. Now look at this incredible revelation in verse 3. That's the sixth revelation of the Lord here. Read that, please, for me. Read the whole verse so we can hear it again.
Who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins.
Stop. Now this is something awesome. When you read what we just looked at, you stand in awe. Heir of all things, brightness of his glory, express image of his person, on and on. You just stand in awe. And now suddenly, your heart breaks. Because this same God, mighty, powerful, eternal, hung on a cross in shame. Taken to a judgment hall, 600 soldiers spit on him. Prior to that, his own people spit on him. He carried his own cross to Golgotha. A few days ago, I stood in a place called Etche Homo in Jerusalem. Etche Homo means behold a man. And you see where the soldiers played the game, who would have his robe. I took the guys who came with me to the Praetorium. And then to the judgment hall that is right next door, where the real arch, the actual arch where Jesus stood to be judged by Pilate, is still there. And you think about the sufferings of the Lord. So you go from this incredible declaration of who he is, and with every one of them, you're awed. And now it presents him as high priest, the suffered, who suffered and died for you and I. It just leaves you numb. And there the writer to the Hebrews introduces Jesus in the greatest theme of the book, the high priest, who paid our debts, who took our sins, offered himself as a sacrifice for our sins, was crucified, suffered in shame. And this is the first reference to the Lord's ministry as high priest. So you see God, right to the sixth revelation, Lamb, high priest. And you stand in awe. And now suddenly, you break down because of his divine love for you. You fall on your face and you want to love him and serve him, praise him, because only he's worthy. But when he introduces him as high priest, he comes to the seventh revelation. It says, sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. Now, the Son of God did what no other person ever did. When his work on earth was complete, he returned to heaven, place of honor and glory and authority, and sat down, work complete. And it says at the right hand, the place of the highest authority, highest honor, majesty on high, King of kings, Lord of lords, exalted forever. And so he introduces this to these persecuted believers in 60 AD. And it was in 60 AD that he wrote this book, 10 years exactly before the destruction of Jerusalem. He was preparing the church for those events. Yet God speaks through his Son. Gives them seven reasons why the Lord qualifies to be the revelation of God to his people. And when you read the book, you see five things in this book. Jesus greater than the prophets in chapter 1. Jesus greater than the angels in chapter 2. Jesus is greater than Moses in chapter 3. Jesus is greater than Joshua in chapter 4. And Jesus is greater than the priesthood in chapter 5. What a God we serve. Lift your hand and thank him for who he is.
Well, I hope you were encouraged by God's word. Thank you again for listening to Kings Alaska Podcast. God bless you. For more great content, go to kcalaska.com. God's face shine upon you.